Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Attack the Baseline, a WNBA podcast where every week we attack our baseline knowledge of the WNBA. I'm John, and I'm joined today by my lovely co-host, as always, Kristen.
Hello.
Hello. We're here for another episode, episode number 3. The season is fast approaching, and we have things to take care of to get our general knowledge of the league as it is up.
Yes.
So today we're going to dive into a little history about the league and the leagues that predated the WNBA. It's pretty exciting. I Kristen did a lot of the research for this episode. I said, I'm going to let you cook, see what you come up with, and I'll just react. And I'm excited to hear. You listened to a lot of podcasts about it. You did some online research.
Not a lot.
I mean,
a couple.
Hey, you did more prep work for sure than we put in our first episode, for sure. This is like, there's stuff we needed to know, we needed to get right.
Yes.
And if we get something wrong, as always, you can fact check us via our email, attackthebaseline@gmail.com, which will be prominently featured in a future heat check for this episode. Heat check? We don't really have anything.
I think we're good.
Outside of some Sacramento is not the Bay Area, is Central California.
You all Californians can like figure that out yourselves. I don't need to be involved.
Yeah, we're just going to bow out here. Sacramento is Sacramento.
Sure.
But yeah, no heat checks, which means why don't we open up talking about a little bit of the news, what's going on around the league. There are a couple news stories. Again, the league starts its 2024 season in May 14th. So we are less than a month away, quickly approaching. Mm-hmm. But what did we see on ESPN and around the news circuits this week?
Well, Caitlin Clark is getting an 8-figure endorsement deal with Nike to get her own shoes.
Mm-hmm.
She joins...
Who's Sabrina, right?
Sabrina and Breanna Stewart.
Breanna Stewart.
Those are the three that will have shoes.
Only those three.
Correct.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is like I guess Sabrina's deal probably came within the last... I would assume it came in the last 2 years. Brianna's has probably been around a little bit longer, if I had to imagine. But the fact that it's only three in a league that has had so many talented figures.
You keep saying these things that like, oh my gosh, I can't believe people don't care about the WNBA. People don't care.
Yeah, but Maya Moore didn't have a shoe. Diana Taurasi didn't have a shoe.
No.
Like, Asia Wilson's not getting a shoe. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
There's like every other NBA player and his brother have a shoe deal.
Right.
Like, let's get more shoe deals.
I guess this is something I just thought of. Are they, I guess they're really, they're making like women's shoes.
Right.
So they kind of have to market this to a different audience.
Correct. Which is why you're not featuring usually like the bigs in the WNBA because not. Like, the vast majority of women are not 6'5".
Right.
You know? So it's like the guard. It's Sabrina and it's Caitlin and Brianna.
Uh-huh.
But, like, there's plenty of guards that you also could have prominently featured within the last decade.
I would get somebody's shoes.
Kristen's going to buy some shoes. Kristen does not own basketball shoes.
No. We only play basketball, like, literally twice a year.
This is not true.
I only do.
Sure. No.
But still, I would buy somebody's shoes.
Yeah.
I felt so led.
Yeah, I mean, they're always cool design. I mean, from what I saw of Caitlin's design, I think that the shoe is going to be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like...
Oh, I didn't see the design.
It looked... Or actually, you know what? It wasn't Caitlin's design.
Oh.
It was Wemby's.
Shut up.
So I'm gonna cut this out.
Okay.
Anyway. So yeah, we'll see where the shoe market goes. Maybe you will feel so led.
Make more shoes. Make some shoes from just players that aren't all white.
Correct. Yeah, but most importantly.
That's all we have to say.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Next, they unveiled some of the Rebel Edition jerseys, which I guess are just like the city jerseys.
Right.
The alternate jerseys.
Alternates, city editions.
I think so far they only did half the teams. But I think they look pretty cool, the ones that we saw. And I guess we're not going to be talking about them now. We'll talk about them when we discuss the teams. But I think they seem pretty cool. And we also saw that Phoenix is having an alternate court for the whole season.
The whole season?
Yeah.
Or just, like, not every game?
It says first ever season-long alternate court.
I guess that means that they'll change it. Like, because you don't just have if it was your alternate court the entire season, then it would just be your court.
Yeah, it's just their normal court, okay, but it's just going to be, like, prettier.
I guess. You saw the design?
Yeah, okay, it's, like, faded yellow to purple to black.
Yeah, they always do that.
Like, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, Phoenix is pretty drippy.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, we a couple years back, we did a jersey bracket where we broke down the jerseys in NBA history. And Phoenix, I think, made the finals against the Vancouver Grizzlies.
They might have won.
No, I don't think that. I think the Grizzlies beat them. But always a good one. Yeah. Always a good one. Historically great.
Okay. So that's mostly our news. Also, this week was John's birthday. How was your birthday, John?
It was lovely.
Good.
We, you know, the Sixers played the day after my birthday and they didn't win. And that's okay. But it's just... I love basketball, man. And I want the greatest gift of all would be for the Sixers to beat the Knicks. So
well,
I hope that I have a late birthday present coming.
Okay, great.
We'll see.
Well, should we? I'm not about to sing happy birthday.
What?
But we have to wish the WNBA happy birthday as well.
I think it's time to wish the WNBA happy birthday. Because today, as you're listening to this, the league is turning 28.
I have
with me
seen... some alternate dates.
Happy, yep. Alternate
dates. You can sing if you want.
Oh, alternate dates? I don't need to sing happy birthday.
Well, what? You saw on the Wikipedia that it's...
You told me on the Wikipedia that April 22nd, 1996 was the day.
Right, that's what it says. Oh.
April 24th.
What is this history page? I have nothing. April 24th. Yeah, I think we're doing our own heat check here.
Yeah.
It's not the 22nd.
This is a shame.
It's the 24th.
The 24th. So
I don't know what, I swear.
It's in a couple days.
Yeah. It's just basically the same.
Look, within plus or minus 2 days, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, well, April 24th will be the WNBA's...
Happy birthday, WNBA.
28th birthday.
Huge.
Lovely. And to celebrate, we are just going to do a little bit of history.
Yeah. Kristen's History Corner.
What led to... the WNBA. The W. I just want to say the W.
Call
That's
the
what
w.
they say.
Yeah.
Okay, we're saying that.
It's a W.
All right.
Where do we start? Are we going all the way back to like James Naismith throws a basketball in a peach basket?
That's where I'm starting.
Okay. I don't know how.
That's 1891.
Okay. And the first WNBA was formed in 1891.
No. In 1892, Smith College in Massachusetts, they introduced some different rules. I didn't look up all the alternate rules were in 1892, but...
No one's expecting you to.
Okay, good. But those were the first women's rules. They had separate women's rules.
Oh, okay. So, right. I think, if I remember, I've read some basketball history novels, some basketball history books, and if I remember, maybe there were more, like they had more women play, like there was like larger rosters or like more people on the court.
Six players instead of five.
Oh, I was thinking like seven, but six.
Oh, no, six.
Interesting.
And then in 1893 was the first ever game.
The first ever official game.
Yes, official women's game. No men were permitted in the room.
W.
Only women could watch.
Imagine.
Women play. The first ever intercollegiate women's game was played in 1896.
Okay.
That was between Stanford and the University of California.
Really? Stanford?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Can you guess what the score was of that game?
It was single digits, right? Single digits on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 7-4.
It was 2-1.
Oh. I gave him a little bit more credit.
Yes.
2-1.
Imagine.
I can imagine. It was hard.
Nobody knows how to throw the ball. None of them know.
Yeah, there was no form.
It's hilarious.
It's very funny. Yeah. Very, very funny.
Yeah. Well, then 3 years later, Stanford abolishes women's basketball.
That's great.
They say, we don't like the publicity that we're getting around women playing sports.
Stanford. So, like, imagine that Stanford doesn't bring basketball back. No Cameron Brink.
Mm-hmm.
There's the domino effect.
Well, they bring it back 5 years later.
Oh, yeah. Not quite national pastime, but like...
Yeah.
It's cool that basketball was around as early as it was.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like it's not seen anywhere near as popular as baseball or football in general America, but like... I love it, and there's such an extensive history with it, so right. That's cool.
So it was spreading around the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fun fact for friend Allison of the pod. In 1936, there was an All-American Redheads team.
Oh, really?
Formed.
Wow, they just scouted throughout the country, bring all the best redheads.
Well, I'd like to
bring all your hoopers,
that.
Bring all your redheads.
I'm gonna check.
We're gonna live check this. So you clearly wrote down the fact, but are you questioning how they did it?
Well, it would be kind of crazy if it was like only redheads.
I mean, all American redhead team sounds like pretty self-explanatory. I'm reading off of Kristen's computer. All American Redheads were the first professional women's basketball team. So the redheads were like their mascot, I guess.
Part of me is like thinking that this is something racist.
It could be. It could be.
Why are they redheads? Okay, well, I don't know why they were called the redheads.
Yeah, because clearly they're showing a blonde woman prominently displayed. I don't know. They have like a all-American getup, like kind of drippy jersey.
Yeah.
The name of the team came from Olsen's wife, who owned a number of beauty salons in the South. Huh. So I guess it's like a Southern thing. I don't know.
Well, the point is, they were one of the first, I guess they were the first professional women's team.
Pretty crazy. Hey, it's John from the future here. Did a little fact-checking and confirmed that the All-American Redheads were either a group of all women that were naturally red hair or women that were willing to dye their hair red to be a member of the basketball team. So it was, in fact, just a hair thing.
They played the men's... There were still separate women's rules, but they played by the men's rules and they played men's teams.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
They were, people loved them.
Okay, so after we establish these official women's teams, where did we go from there?
Well, actually, there was a woman named Denise Long.
Okay.
Who in 1969 was drafted to the San Francisco Warriors.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, so she was drafted into the...
The NBA.
The NBA.
Yes.
1969.
She was 19.
Wow.
She never played a game.
Bummer.
But she was on the team.
Still pretty cool. Still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was she the only woman that was in the NBA?
I also saw that there's a woman named Ann Myers in 1974.
That name rings a bell.
She signed a free agent contract with the Pacers.
Mm.
I also don't think she played.
Okay. Well.
But that will have to be fact checked.
Hey, maybe someone out there knows. But this is 70s now.
That's the 70s.
Okay. So we don't have like a really formal league. We have like a smattering.
Right now, there's
of...
basically nothing.
Okay. Like nothing too official.
No. And then another woman who played in the NBA. 1981, Nancy Lieberman played in a Lakers summer league.
Okay. All right. Hey. So, count it. That's count something. It. Probably got a basketball reference for sure.
In 1976, women's basketball became an Olympic sport.
Okay, so 76. So now they're like, okay, we're cool. Let the woman play.
Oh, because in 1972, that's when Title IX
was passed. I was going to say.
Yes, that 1972. So now colleges and universities were required to fund women's sports, scholarships, recruitment, and media, mm-hmm. which led to like a ton more participation in Good. Women's sports in general. In that Olympics, the Soviet Union won gold and the USA won silver.
Okay. Okay.
So already pretty good, but there, I'm sure, must not be. Well, I don't know. There were teams in other countries.
Right. Right. Well, because the sport was so popular that it spread internationally pretty well from what I remember. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple. Like it's simple in the sense that you just need a hoop and a ball.
Right.
Like, not quite as simple as soccer, which is why soccer is such an international sport, but basketball is still really international. Baseball's not an international sport. It is, but not in the same respect. And American football is barely outside of America.
Right.
Like, it is, but, you know, basketball's up there.
In 1978, the Women's Basketball League formed.
Okay, 1978.
It was right after the Olympics.
Okay, the women's basketball. So was it called the WBL?
WBL, yes. Okay,
cool.
Which was the first ever, like, real professional women's league.
Good. Okay.
3 years later, in 1981, it disbanded due to bankruptcy.
Okay. It had a good run there. It lasted
3 years.
I mean.
Which is more than these other things.
Oh, that really?
1984, the WABA.
Okay, the Women's American Basketball Association?
I believe.
Okay.
Was founded. Mm-hmm. It lasted 2 months.
2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Bankruptcy?
Probably.
Well, I guess that's how big companies end. I think it's always probably going to be bankruptcy.
Yeah. In 1986, 2 years later, the NWBA formed.
The National Women's Basketball Association. Uh-huh. So not the WNBA, the NWBA.
Yes. And in the same year, it folded.
Same year. Dang. Yeah, so okay, so W to the WBL.
What?
That was the one. W to the WBL. That was the one that lasted the longest. 3 years, I guess. Is a pretty solid run compared to those other ones.
Right. Okay, I said NWBA.
Yeah.
Okay, so now 1991, that's 5 years later, the LBA.
LBA.
LBA. Let me look up what LBA stands for.
LBA. What could the L stand for?
The Liberty Basketball Association.
Liberty Basketball Association. Okay, and why was it that? Was it in like New York or something?
I don't know. It played one game.
One game. A broadcast?
On ESPN.
That's pretty sweet.
Then it disbanded.
So I guess it just didn't get enough ratings.
Guess not. ESPN gave them one chance.
Jeez. One chance. Yeah. Single chance.
Wow.
Imagine forming a league and getting it all organized, and then we're done after one game.
Mm-hmm. 1993.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, the WBA was founded.
Women's Basketball Association.
That lasted 3 seasons.
Three? Okay.
So not bad.
Okay.
And then we have the 1996 Olympics.
Ah, okay. So the Olympics
changed everything.
Oh, tell me how.
This is actually really interesting. Mm-hmm. The Olympic team, whoever was like the coach of the Olympic team, got the team together, the women's team, 10 months before the Olympics.
Wow.
They said, we're going to play, we're going to practice together for 10 months.
I'm assembling a team.
Oh, Tara Vanderveer was the coach.
Yeah.
She had them play together and show them publicly for 10 months before the Olympics to get people hyped up.
Okay.
And then they won gold at the Olympics. And finally, it was like the really the start of people caring about women's basketball.
Mm. Interesting. Tara Vanderveer, I like you say that name, I had to confirm. She just retired.
Oh.
As the coach of Stanford.
Yeah, I like recognized her name.
Yeah. I mean, during the draft the other day, they showed her prominently featured on the screen. So that makes sense. But okay, cool. So we organized the Olympic team. The Olympic team practiced, gets it together. They succeed.
Yeah, they win gold.
They win gold. That's sweet. And now...
I can just read this 1996 team.
Sure.
People probably know.
Yeah, who are our Olympians?
Teresa Edwards.
Okay.
Ruthie Bolton Holifield.
Okay.
Cheryl Swoops.
Cheryl Swoops, I know Cheryl Swoops.
Lisa Leslie.
Lisa Leslie, I know Lisa Leslie.
Katrina McLean.
Okay.
Dawn Staley.
Goat.
Jennifer Ozzie.
Okay.
Carla McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Stedding.
Okay.
Rebecca Lobo.
I know Rebecca Lobo. She's always on...
she's like she was there at the draft. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Venus Lacey.
Okay.
And Nikki McRae.
Nice.
Were the... Really, the women who put women's sports on the map.
There you go. Dawn Staley, goated again.
Mm-hmm. And there was a quote from Dawn that I heard on a podcast where she said, "We all knew what was at stake with the Olympics. It was all depending on how successful we were as a team.
Mm.
And we wanted to show America that women playing at the peaks of their career was something special."
That rocks.
So they all knew like how important it was.
So much pressure.
And they did it. Yes.
I wonder, like, obviously the league... The current WNBA, and we're going to talk about that now that we reach the point where...
Well, we're not there yet.
Oh, okay. But when we get into that, like, there's a lot of pressure on the WNBA this year, of course, too, because they need to capitalize off of how much hubbub they have.
Yeah.
From the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And the build-up and Caitlin and the Camilla and the Cameron of it all. I wonder if, I mean, it's not the same pressure. Their pressure was much more because...
I would say it's...
It's probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Caitlin must feel incredible pressure.
Big time. Big time.
The commissioner, I'm sure, feels Kathy. A ton of pressure.
Right, because they need to have a successful season if they want to expand.
They need to.
So.
Yeah.
We're going to see.
Yeah.
Anyway, so where's that bridge between the Olympics and the league? Because it's 96.
Yes, so 96... Then this leads to the American Basketball League, the ABL.
Okay.
Starting.
The ABL.
Yes.
Okay.
Because really, as you've seen, there's so many like professional leagues, but they keep starting and stopping and starting mm-hmm. and none of them are having success. This guy, Gary Cavalli. I didn't look him up, but yeah. I imagine he has had some, you know, basketball background.
Sure.
He didn't like that these women had to go overseas so much if they wanted to make money playing basketball.
Mm.
So he raised money from Silicon Valley investors.
Oh, really?
To start the ABL.
Okay.
Because he wanted to pay women enough to stay in the U.S. for the whole year.
What a concept.
In 1996.
Job security in 96?
Who'd have thought? And he also didn't want to have women be in the title of the league.
Oh, okay. So that, I mean, that's like SEO stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess because it's just basketball.
Right. Right. It doesn't have to, you don't have to, you know.
Right.
Put an extra tag on it.
You don't have to say it's women's, it's just basketball.
Just basketball.
So he seemed like a great guy.
I hope so. I hope that's true.
So he worked really hard to find advertisers and TV deals, but the NBA had been saying for a while, we're going to start a women's league. We're going to start.
Mm.
They just never like really said what their plans
were. NBA specifically?
Like, yes.
Oh, okay.
So many of these advertisers and TV channels
mm-hmm.
didn't want to back somebody else if the WNBA started. Then they're like, back. They don't want to say no to the NBA.
Right.
So they were like, oh, we can't really give you any deals because the NBA, they're going to start something. Mm. So we can't.
Mm.
Which just sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
But our friend Gary doesn't let it get him down.
Oh, really? Gary with the defense?
He Gary keeps saves going.
It? Really?
Well, it's obviously not around now, so oh, well. Something okay. happens. But at the time, he says, no, I'm going to keep going. Gary recruits most of this 1996 Olympic team.
Oh, really?
And they're all playing in his league, in the ABL.
Oh, yeah. So the literally the nation's best players.
Yes, are playing in this other league.
Hmm.
So we have the names. We have the names of this team, of these teams.
Okay. This is, oh, in the ABL.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm excited. This is the first time I'm hearing these. I only know the Philadelphia Rage, which is still an amazing name. And it would be cool if when Philly has a team that they bring it back, even though it's not technically a WNBA name. But what do we got?
So there's eight teams.
Eight teams. Small league.
There's the Atlanta Glory.
Okay. kind of mid, not gonna lie.
The Columbus Quest.
As in, like, Christopher Columbus went on a quest.
I guess.
Columbus Quest doesn't exactly...
I thought it was kind of cool, but I guess not.
The Quest. No. Maybe if it wasn't Columbus...
Well, they were the best team.
Okay.
How
many seasons did this run again?
2.5 years.
Okay. So the Quest, they won, I guess they won too?
The Quest, yeah, I think they won twice. The Quest.
Okay. All right, go Quest.
The New England Blizzard.
Kind of like that.
I like that.
I like that a lot, actually.
It actually started as the Richmond Rage.
The Richmond, Virginia Rage? Bruh.
And then moves to Philadelphia.
That's right.
In the second season.
Wow, so we didn't even get one of the first eight teams either? What the heck, man?
Nope.
Freaking Philly, come on.
The Colorado Explosion.
Nope.
Just with an X.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
No E.
No.
Okay. X hyphen explosion?
No.
Okay.
Explosion.
Interesting.
I guess that's like mines. Or something.
Yeah, I would think.
Okay. Portland Power.
No. Something I noticed about these, the WNBA teams and a lot of these teams, it's a lot of singular words and like concepts. Like no S's, no plurals.
Right.
No mask, no animals.
I like it.
I think it's cool. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool.
They're at least unique.
They're not great. But they're cool. Explosion? Power? Like power grids? I don't know.
The Seattle Rain.
Spelled
R-E-I-G-N.
That's so good.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I'm way in on that.
The San Jose Lasers.
Straight up. Laser. Laser's an acronym. L-E-S-E-Z.
No,
L-A-S-E-R.
S. Lasers.
Yeah, live spelling laser on the podcast.
And then some of the teams ended and new ones started. So eventually there was Chicago Condors.
They have Condors in Chicago?
I'm sure. I don't think
they have Condors in Chicago.
Have Condors. The Nashville Noise.
Nashville Noise.
Noise doesn't have like the best connotation, but I like the alliteration of it.
Agreed.
And the Long Beach Stingrays.
Ooh, okay.
Were all the teams.
I get down with Stingrays.
Yeah. So those were our ABL teams.
Wow. So the ABL, ABL you said runs for 2.5 years.
They start playing October 1996.
Okay.
Well, the WNBA, in the midst of all this, I guess they see what's going on in the ABL.
Mm-hmm.
And the WNBA is announced to start in the summer of 1997.
Oh. And how is it that their birthday is... Oh, so I guess the league was formed as in they started preliminary discussions?
Yeah, the WNBA, they like announced it would be on April 24th, 96. They announced the WNBA is starting next summer.
Got it.
And the ABL plays their first game October 1996.
Nice. So you got that WNBA chasing the ABL.
From what I have listened to, all the players in the ABL loved it. They say that it was a great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. They really supported the players. They gave them parental leave. They gave them player ownership in the teams.
Bro.
They covered healthcare for the whole year.
Wow.
They had a regular running season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like a full, like, 82?
I don't know how many.
Like some 40.
But it was at least, like, over the winter and into the spring, like the normal NBA season is.
Okay. So it's probably, like, stretched out. You probably played less games per week, but they played, enough to warrant being all year round.
Yeah. But the WNBA needs players. And they need the best players.
Mm-hmm.
So, where the average salary in 1996 for the ABL was $80,000.
$80,000.
Which is already more than Caitlin's making this year.
$80,000? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
The WNBA...
$80,000 in 1996?
Yes.
Jeez. That's good money. That's pretty
the
good money.
The average salary for the WNBA, first year, I guess, mm-hmm. was $26,500.
Why?
Right, so you're like, how the heck did this league start? Because they, like, aren't paying their players at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got the advertising. They got the TV deals. None of these games are on TV.
Oh, none of the ABL games.
Right.
Mm. That's amazing, then, that they were able to afford to pay,
oh yeah,
like, very good salaries.
It was like Silicon Valley investors were just investing in it.
And they couldn't just, like, you know, get the TV deals there.
They couldn't get the TV deals.
That's insane. That's insane.
But another thing that was interesting was the WNBA, they really focused on, like, these players are still girls. Mm-hmm. They're still feminine, even though they're athletes.
Oh, and because they have a W there. And right. ABL doesn't have the W.
Right. They're just like, we're just playing basketball.
Right.
But the W, they made it like, you're still women.
Mm.
You're still only getting paid $26,000 a year. Right. Average.
How wonderful.
The minimum was $10,000.
Jesus. It's a very short situation.
And they really... this was interesting. This was from a different podcast, but I can kind of plug it in.
Uh-huh.
David Stern was the commissioner of the NBA at the time. He said a catalyst for starting the W
mm-hmm.
was that they wanted arena content outside the NBA season.
Mm.
So what can we do? Oh, we'll have the women play in the summer.
Well, and then that's why we have a schedule the way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
May 14th. You know, there will still be NBA basketball on May 14th, but it'll only be four teams, mm-hmm. eight teams.
Yeah.
And then there you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So that's the beginning of the W.
That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild.
It can be discussed if it was ever about the women, if it was ever about empowering the women and actually giving the women a place to show their skills and actually, you know, lead to them becoming generationally wealthy like the men
right.
are.
Correct.
And, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Something I learned the other day, a friend of mine was, he was looking to buy a Caitlin Clark jersey. He lives in Indiana. And he said, like, I drove to the arena, or I was going to drive to the arena to buy the jersey so that, like, I think he said so that, like, Caitlin gets a cut of it or something. But then someone replied to him and said that, that I think it was a video of Kelsey Plum, I believe. And she said, like, players in the W don't get any money from jersey sales. They don't get any money from jersey sales. Do you hear? Like, that's crazy. So
NBA, they do.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. The women get no credit. So, like, if you're going to buy a WNBA jersey and you think you're, like, going to help the ladies in the league, you might as well just buy it from China for $15 because mm-hmm. the money's not going where you hope it goes. They had no cut of that. And they don't get the TV deals either, I don't think. I mean, that's why they can't, that's why Caitlyn's only making $75,000 in her first year when she's going to sign it. She's going to sign a $10 million deal with Nike.
Right. That's where the money is. Correct. That's why.
And the endorsements and the advertisement.
So all these players who are playing for this other league said, we're going to make more money over there and get more famous over there.
Yeah.
So they leave and they join the W.
And then the W runs for 27 years and counting.
Mm-hmm. So when the W was starting, they really didn't have that much time. They announced it April 96 and they're starting to play games. The next summer. So right. Really, you got to come up with the teams, the jerseys, the arenas, the everything.
Yeah, in a year and change.
Yeah. Something that was interesting was they wanted to change the color of the basketballs.
Mm.
They wanted to like change it up.
Yeah.
So they went to a Knicks game and they gave them 12 different colored balls.
The players? The Knicks players?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they had them, like, play with these different colored balls to see what color. And at first they wanted to have a blue ball.
Okay. Kind of a questionable call there. Interesting.
Yeah. But they just ended up going with the orange and cream.
Which is the one I'm looking at on your screen there.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that it's different. I think it looks...
Do they always play with this?
Where?
This ball.
I mean, I'm fairly certain. I mean, that you're looking, you have pictures of Caitlin in college. They don't play with the cream.
Yeah, they have it here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like if you look up a picture of Diana Taurasi shooting, it'll most certainly have the Wilson leather white and orange basketball, which I do think, from the way that they spin it, and when their shots go in, it does look pretty cool. So I'll give them that. That was an interesting choice to when they started the league.
Yeah. So they really had to do like marketing and campaigns really fast. They did a ton of commercials in like 96, 97 and had like literally any company you can think of had a commercial about the WNBA, like with women's players. All the sports companies, Sears, McDonald's, like
I'm sure they did the milk ads with the milk mustache.
Yeah. So they weren't kidding, like they got the advertisers.
Okay.
But that's really leads up to the 96 draft. Oh, the 1997 draft.
Yeah. So 97, that's our we've got all our teams established. We're ready to do our draft. Mm-hmm. No team, no rosters have any players. We have to do like a full generate all rosters draft.
There was an initial players allocation.
Okay. Of like players from the ABL?
Yeah, basically. Okay. Like the most famous players, I think. Yeah.
Dawn.
They just allocated two players to each team.
Interesting. Two.
And then there was an elite draft, one round of an elite draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the three or four rounds of the college draft.
Mm. Well, is the elite draft player, like, experienced players?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's okay. How they did it.
So then at that point you have seven players? Like there were seven player rosters? I guess they probably fill in with like undrafted players or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you have established rosters and then you can build around that.
Yeah.
So then so how many teams were there?
There's eight original teams.
Okay, so similar to the ABL.
Some still around, some not.
Interesting. I want to hear.
We have, the ones that are still around.
Okay.
Are the Liberty, the Sparks, and the Phoenix. Phoenix Mercury.
Okay, so three out of eight, not great.
Yeah, one is still around, but in a different place and with a different name.
Okay, in different place, different name, but same organization, same route.
Yes, okay. That's the Las Vegas Aces.
Okay,
were originally the Utah Stars.
Okay, we've heard about the Utah Stars. It's been mentioned to us in side conversations, Starzz, two Z's, because of the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
That rolls.
They briefly moved to San Antonio. then went to Las Vegas.
It's kind of so cringe that it's good, I think.
I don't like it at all.
No? It could have been Z. It should have been Z-T-A-R.
What?
S-Z. So it's like starts with a Z and ends with a Z.
No.
Stars. That would be pretty cool. Anyway.
Just okay. Setting them up so for
Utah,
failure.
So Utah to Vegas makes sense. Close.
Yeah. And then we had the Cleveland Rockers.
Love that.
Hate. That's like the worst name so I've cool. ever heard for a team.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rockers?
Rockers!
Do not,
the Rockers!
Do not call me a rocker. I don't know why that like disgusts me so much.
Don't talk to me about rocks.
I don't know. That's just horrible.
Cleveland Rockers, okay.
The Charlotte Sting.
Hornets.
Which I do like that.
Charlotte Sting's good.
Yeah. The Houston Comets.
Houston Comets.
I get it, but like come up with something different.
Astros.
Yeah, that's Comets. Baseball.
Texans. Come on. It's all space themed.
And the Sacramento Monarchs.
Sacramento Monarchs. Can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just another Kings. Okay. All right. So we have 8 teams.
Oh.
What?
Wait, like Kings.
Yeah.
Oh, I literally like thought of butterflies.
Okay. Okay. Butterflies are cool too.
That's funny.
So how does the league then shape from there?
They are clearly trying to rapidly expand. Because there's been so much hype from the Olympics and the league starting.
Yeah.
They basically add at least two teams. They add two teams in 1998, two teams in 1999, four teams in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So they're expanding so quick and just like clearly cannot
sustain keep themselves. It up. Yeah.
So there's two teams that only last 2 years.
Wow.
That's the Miami Soul. Oh. S-O-L.
Okay, so Sun. All uh-huh. right.
That's cool.
I like that.
And the Portland Fire.
Oh, so two sun-based, two hot heat-based.
uh-huh.
They said, we got to cut the heat out.
True, going on theme.
Okay.
They only last 2 years.
Hmm.
The Cleveland Rockers are done in 2003.
R.I.P. Rockers.
The Charlotte Sting are done in 2006. The Comets are done in 2008.
That's crazy.
The Monarchs are done in 2009. And all the other teams basically moved.
Mm.
There's been a lot of moving.
A lot of moving.
A lot of moving around. A lot of ending. Defunct.
Hmm. Hmm. So, like, of the teams, that the 12 teams that are there now, like, most of them popped up when?
The most recent one technically is the Atlanta Dream, which is from 2008.
Okay. And you got Chicago.
Chicago's 2006.
Seattle and Indiana have been around for a bit.
Yeah.
Minnesota's been around for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mystics. Aces were a move and Dallas. Okay.
Oh, the Detroit Shock. Yeah, the Detroit Shock became the Wings.
Detroit Shock?
Detroit to Dallas. Yeah.
That's a shift.
Mm-hmm. There was a team in Orlando that moved, that became the Connecticut Sun.
Oh. Hmm.
So it's really been, it really was a lot of movement for the first 10 years. And then it's been nothing.
Nothing. That's what's so crazy. It's been radio silent for 17 years.
Yeah. Nothing. Well, I guess there's been talks. There's always talks.
Yeah,
there's
always talks.
I guess we've been told there were talks to put another team in Portland, but that it was supposed to come in with the Golden State team, but fell through.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they cannot get their footing.
It's crazy.
And is that from the fans? Is that from they're not putting in enough effort?
Probably that.
Well, I don't know.
It's all on you, Kathy Engelbert.
A lot's riding on this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, I think.
Wow.
Well, that's where we are. Happy birthday, WNBA.
Happy birthday, WNBA. You might be a terribly flawed league.
But you're here.
But you're here.
And it's, I mean, women's soccer, I would say, I think, is the most
that
I've cared about a sport recently has been women's soccer.
Big time. Big time.
But basketball, you have a huge opportunity.
Yeah, because it's not like, I mean, there's not a woman MLB.
Right.
There's not a woman American football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there obviously there are women getting drafted, or playing, sorry, not getting drafted, playing in college for like kicker situations. And there's the one woman who played linebacker, I think. So like there are these movements, but like the WNBA has been an established league of women.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very cool if they continue to go up and then the paradigm can shift and they can be paid like they were back in 1996.
Literally.
In the ABL.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
R.I.P. to the ABL.
R.I.P. to our boy Gary, question mark.
Cavalli.
Gary Cavalli. And R.I.P. to Cleveland Rockers.
Ew. Don't say that to me.
Bring him back. Bring him back. Kathy Engelbert. No, Kathy Engelbert gets on the mic. We're announcing that the Golden State team will be the Golden State Valkyries, and we are so excited to announce the Philadelphia Rockers. Go Rockers!
Ugh, gross.
That would be a nightmare. Yeah. We finally get our team. Team name sucks.
Oh God. It's also like, what do you put with the Sixers? There's really nothing.
Sevenders. Nah, 87ers already existed. Can't do that.
So, I don't know.
Can't do Niners. Boo.
Fivers.
That's a website.
Oh, what?
Isn't that where you like do, like you can get people, you can pay people to do like quick tasks for you with Fiverr. Anyway, we're losing the plot. That's our history.
That's our history.
I know it was a lot of history. It was from,
I think it was 1890s
all the way till now. But it's cool. It's so cool. And I just like, there's something about hearing team names of teams that you didn't know existed and like their branding that is so fascinating to me. And there's always going to be more history that we can dig into. And I talked to Kristen about this. This is just like as base level building block up to the WNBA as possible. We may choose to go back and dig into some of this history further.
Yeah.
Maybe in the off season, because there is just so much of it. It's just mostly not known to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to get into.
Yep.
But
well, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. We're going to be back with our team breakdowns before, as we lead up to the 2024 season, which is right around the corner, as I said. But I know from myself and from Kristen, we continue to love to hear from you. If you'd like to send us an email, remember attackthebaseline@gmail.com. And Kristen, do you have anything else to say before we send it off?
No, I'd just say, I think you can follow the podcast on Spotify.
Yep.
I know you get a notification from that.
Correct.
I don't know whatever other platforms you use, but
it's on it should be on any other platform. And if there's one that you explicitly want to listen to it on, let us know if it's not there and we'll make sure to take care of it. And anyway, like we say, always at the end of our pod, when you see that baseline, attack it.
Okay.
I'm doing it again.
Oh, you're going to switch it up.
I'm not going to switch it up because I don't know anything else to do other than that for right now. We'll talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.
Bye.